Amen. Thank you, Casey and Kim. Please take your Bible and turn to Psalm 54, 54th Psalm. Again, this special goes right along with the message this morning. The title of this message is, Evil Does Not Change God's Goodness. It doesn't. The Bible says, to the chief musician on Neginoth, Maskell, a psalm of David, when the Ziphims came and said to Saul, doth not David hide himself with us? Save me, O God, by thy name, and judge me by thy strength. Hear my prayer, O God, give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers are risen up against me, and oppressors seek after my soul. They have not set God before them. Selah. Behold, God is mine helper. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul. He shall reward evil unto mine enemies, cut them off in thy truth. I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name, O Lord, for it is good. For he hath delivered me out of all trouble, and mine eye hath seen his desire upon mine enemies. Let's have a word of prayer, please. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love, for the word of God that teaches us, for the songs we've sung today, God, looking forward to the day that you overcome in us, that we see the end of your work in us and through us on this earth, and we see what you are and who you are in glory in heaven. God, we know that you've been good all through our lives. And I pray today that we would see once again, not only that you are good, but why. And that this psalm would help us to remember that no matter how evil becomes, it does not change how good you are. I pray that we'd be changed by these truths, Lord. I ask you to use your spirit to speak through me and to me. God, even change my heart about some of the thinking that I have, even in studying this, knowing that sometimes it's hard for us to overcome this, but there's a way if we'll simply look at you for who you are. Help us, Lord, today, if there's one here who's never accepted you, help them to see how good you are, that you've given us the ability to overcome sin by the blood of Jesus Christ. I pray that they would accept you before it's too late. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The psalm gives us the setting and then kind of gives us the understanding of why these thoughts are going on. Many of the psalms, as we have discussed, are exposure of men's thinking, their emotion. I look around here and many of you are weeping because that song is just true. God's been good. Do we know that God is good because of what he's done? Or do we know God is good because of who he is? And that's what these psalms reveal, and many of the others. This is not by any means restricted to these two psalms, but I think so far this thinking here is raw. It's something that we certainly can relate to because it has to do with betrayal by enemies that we have nothing to do with. In other words, the people are not involved in the situation. There's no need for them to be involved in the situation, but they got to tell all they know about the situation, so it comes back on you, and you've done nothing. That's the case with David here. David did nothing. He is running from Saul. He is hiding. He happens to be in the same place in 1 Samuel 23 and 1 Samuel 26, where the Ziphites twice come to Saul and say, David's hiding with us. Now, you can go back and read it and see all of it out to flesh it out. But basically, the Ziphites come, and they're called the Ziphims here. But the Ziphites come, and they report to Saul that David is hiding with us. And they David's done nothing to them. He's done nothing to their cities. He's not bothering them. His mighty men and the men that are with him are not taking anything from them. They're simply hiding from Saul. It's known that Saul is looking for David. So we can deduce this, that their motive behind telling Saul is to gain something for themselves. So that this is somebody gossiping about something they have nothing to do with, not knowing any of the situation, but they're going to gain, like, I know everything that goes on in El Dorado. You go, who wanted to be that person? I don't know, but we live in a small town, and that's kind of the way that it is. You go, well, Brother Ron, why are you being so picky? You have been wronged by somebody who had nothing to do in your situation. They didn't know it. They had no end of it, but they started telling all these people all this stuff. If you haven't, you will. I have heard some humdingers, and I've known the situation and gone, that's not true. That's not what happened. It's amazing. People involved. Okay, so what if you're the person that they've told it about? So you're going, well, are you going to jump out the people that are tail bearers? Nope. This is not to jump out people that are tail bearers. You shouldn't be a tail bearer. Read your Bible. It's in there. You should be in control of your tongue. You shouldn't talk about things you have no idea about. I don't care if you think you know. Stop. You don't know all of it. And if you say to me, I do, you don't. Brother Ron, it's getting uncomfortable. That's why it's not about, that's all the preaching I need to do right there. So we've all either done it, thought it, or it's been done to us. So how do you respond? It's a great question. What do you do when someone does something to you and you absolutely do not deserve it? You absolutely did nothing wrong. How do you respond? Well, the first way that you respond is this. You turn to God. He doesn't say, save me, O mighty men. He doesn't say, save me, O priests. He doesn't say, save me, O Judah. He says, save me, O God. The word to save means to rescue, to keep me from harm. God, I'm in a situation that I need to be rescued, and I have nowhere else to turn. Do you know why we don't call on God to save us? We think we have alternatives. You know why people don't call upon the name of the Lord? They believe there are alternatives to Jesus Christ. Works. Works will not get anyone to heaven. Why? The Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he has saved us. The Bible says, for by grace you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. Look, two times, not of works, lest any man should boast. And Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Three times is all the witnesses you need, and there's plenty more that can say, it's not your works that are going to get you to heaven. You'll never be good enough. Our righteousnesses are as filthy rags to God. I can't be saved in and of myself. And even after I'm saved, I need to go to God instead of all the people that I think will be on my side. It's a bad thing that we do as human beings, that we start calling, texting. The big thing now is Facebooking or Instagramming or other thingings. I don't even know. I know there's all kinds of garbage that you can put your feelings on and be fake on. So you can relax, I don't read it. I don't have it. I don't want it. So I don't know what you're posting. And when somebody says, did you see what somebody posted? I go, nope. Don't want to know. There's a reason why I don't have it. Because what people post and repost. I couldn't preach. I can look at you all with a conscience clear. I have no idea what you posted this week. And I could care less.
You mean you
don't? Don't you believe it's a good tool? I do believe it's a good tool. I think it's a horrible thing that Satan's allowed a lot of people to do with it. But he's the prince of power of the air. What do you want? Isn't it true that we vent our wrongs done against us, especially when we did no wrong? What does David do? Save me, O God. He goes to the self-sufficient one and he says, save me. How? By thy name. So he's acknowledging that God's name is the only name that can deliver from the injury. Spurgeon says about this psalm, there's going to be two quotes that I give from him this morning. In the title tells us it's supposed to be Neginoth. Neginoth is upon stringed instruments. Spurgeon says this, the music was to be that of stringed instruments. Variety is to be studied in our tunes and in all other matters relating to sacred song. Monotony is often the death of congregational praise. Providence is varied, and so should our recording songs be. In other words, the songs that we write as testimony of God's grace and his deliverance. It is supposed to be a maskil. We are to learn and teach by what we sing. Edification must not be divorced from psalmody. So what are we supposed to learn from this? That God's name is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. In things of earth and things under the earth, in heaven, in earth, under the sea, everywhere. And every tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. No one's going to get away from it. Do you understand why it's his name and not my name? God saved them for my sake. No. For your name's sake. We'll get into that psalm, those statements in the psalms a little bit later. For your name's sake. Why should God do it? Do you know a person cannot call on God to do it for his name's sake unless they're completely innocent? So a person that is calling upon God in this situation, save me, O God, is a person that knows deep down they've never thought, there's never been any inclination, they have done nothing to deserve what's coming or what has been brought upon them. Think about it. David had the javelin thrown at him. He didn't throw one. David didn't try to kill Saul. Saul tried to kill David. All David did up to this point was play a harp, and the harp helped the evil spirit to depart from Saul. That's what we know. Now David's on run because he's told his son, he's thrown a couple of javelins at him. Saul's threatened to kill his own son. He's told his son he's going to kill David. He wants David taken out. And David says, God, I need to be saved by your name because I just know that you know that I haven't done this. In fact, he says this, and judge me by thy strength. The confidence that he comes in is this vocalizing that God's strength can be brought to bear because David can be judged by it. So he says, you take this situation, God, and you judge it by your name, and you judge it by your strength. I am completely leaving it in your hands. I am taking no action. If you read the account, all David does is run. He could have stood his ground. Do you know the men that were with him by this time could have killed all of Saul's guys because they were a bunch of weaklings? But David knew he was not supposed to touch God's anointed. See, what drove David was not what he could do, but what he was not supposed to do. Who God is, not who David is. David's the king. He's already been anointed king. He could have done what he wanted. None of his followers would have said anything against it, and quite possibly the nation may not have judged anything against it. But here he is saying, God, by your strength, by your name, by your ability. Why? Because I can put it all in your hands. I've done nothing wrong. Verse number 2. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. Spurgeon says this about this particular verse: vocal prayer helps the supplicant, and we keep our minds more fully awake when we can use our tongues as well as our hearts. Think of Hannah. Hannah prayed, and she was verbally praying. Remember, Eli, the high priest, thought that she was drunk because she's praying and weeping and wailing and coming before God while she's praying at the altar, and she's asking God to help and to be the help in the time of need and supply her with a son. And Lord, if you'll supply the son, God, I'll give him back to you. I will return him back to you. And then Eli says, well, you're drunk. Why are you drunk? Why are you acting like this? It's always good for your prayer to be heard, even by you, so that your mind reminds you, I'm not praying to just somebody. I'm praying to an eternal, holy God. Sometimes I believe that we forget who to whom we are praying. We treat him like a God, but we don't treat him like Creator God. We don't come before him. We kind of went over this morning in Ephesians chapter 6, especially in verse number 18, where it says to put on the armor of God with prayer and supplication before God. The Bible tells us that we're supposed to come together with for those in authority over us. Why? So that we can lead a quiet and peaceable life. This is coming to God believing that only God can deal with this. Only God can do this. Only God can help in this. No one else can. That's the belief that we must come in, that God alone is the answer. Don't silently pray. Pray out loud. If you look at the situation that the United States of America commemorates today, the loss of life in the Twin Towers, and you know, I know there are all kinds of things to say about it and all kinds of things that people think about it, but the fact of the matter is, if you want to get down to the bottom of it, you can say that the Islamic terrorists did it, or you can just say that Satan was allowed to attack, and he did. Why? One reason. God had a plan. For a little while it worked. Get America's attention. Okay? If you go from that day to this day, not only have we gone way past where we were, but we're miles and miles and years. I mean, we've advanced this agenda. This agenda is way past recuperating. It's out there. It's all over. There many people are piling on to this agenda. There are a few I know that are right. They're Christians. They're trying to stand against it, but the majority are not. Now, I'm not talking about how we're going to fix it. I'm talking about how we're going to fix it. We have been wronged, and we will continue to be wronged as believers, having done nothing. Right now, in our circle, there are people, I'm talking about independent Baptists, who mock people who believe that the King James is the perfectly preserved Word of God. They not only mock, but they call us lunatics. You go, well, Brother Ron, no. Our own circle. There are many in your own circle, politically, that mock you for your position on certain things. And not because you're wrong or because you've done anything wrong, but because you are who you are. This is David's situation. These feelings are raw. He's coming to God saying, I don't deserve this. How does he take care of it? By going to God to take. Well, sometimes we have to put feet to our prayers. What we need to do is be willing to humble ourselves and admit to God, you are the only one who can fix this. How do we do that? Then we do what we know is right, not what is wrong. Again, watch. The situation we're in, the Ziphites go and tell Saul. David could have said, let's take a stand here and we'll just destroy that whole army. No. He hears the Ziphites have gone, and so he leaves the area. couple chapters later, he comes back, not even to their area, just in the wilderness around them. And once again, they go to Saul. This time, David could have destroyed them. But instead, the Bible says Saul came and David wasn't there. Why? He went, he left, he vacated to let God deal with the situation. And he said, and it's because of this, verse number 3, "For strangers are risen up against me, and oppressors seek after my soul. They have not set God before them." There's a reason why these Ziphites are involved in this when they're not supposed to be involved in it. And it's this: they don't know God's plan. They don't care about God's plan. God's plan is not in their mind. God's word is not in their mind. They could care less. See, it's not because they hate us. It's because they don't have any idea what God's plan is. They don't know the word of God. We are so shocked when the world says abortion should be legal and we should be able to do this and all this other stuff. It's such a long list. I don't even remember all the letters associated with it anymore. Just take the alphabet and pick any letter. And there's something about it that's been made this new position. And yes, there were things in place to control government getting out of control. But guess what? There's one thing that's not in place anymore that was very early on spoken of, that if it remained in America, America would be great. But when America no longer had it, it would not be great. And it's called morality. And people in churches do not have morality. They're not governed by biblical truth. They don't know it. So people who call themselves Christians scream that abortion is right. Come on, man. They don't know. Well, Jesus didn't say it. Don't you just love that? Jesus didn't say it. Like, Jesus didn't say it. Wait, did Jesus write the Bible? Yes, he was there. The Word became flesh. He's identified as Jesus of Nazareth. And still people say, well, I mean, Jesus didn't say you shouldn't do this. Jesus didn't say you shouldn't do this. Well, wait, is it spoken of anywhere in the Bible? Yeah. Paul spoke of it. It's spoken of greatly in the Old Testament. Do you think God changed his mind about any of that? No. Why do people say, well, Jesus didn't say it? I'll tell you why. They don't know God. Big difference in being saved and knowing God. Knowing God, the only way you can know him on this planet is knowing this. There's no magic. The Holy Spirit came upon me and I understood everything. Yeah, if you were reading your Bible, you understood everything. This is not the force will be with you. It's God's word is in you, and the Holy Spirit knows how to take God's word and use God's word in you. And that's what he does. He takes of the things that he has heard, the things that Christ spoke. So what did Christ speak? Every word that's in this book. Well, how do you know? Because Jesus said not one jot or tittle would be passing away. My word shall not pass away. Everything that's here. How do I first control my emotions? Realize that the reason someone's reared up against you when you've done absolutely no wrong is because they do not know God. I don't know about you, but I'm not going out grabbing people, shaking them, and threatening to kill them because they don't believe the King James or they don't believe the way that I believe. You know why? Because that's not what God tells us to do. The children of Israel simply did what he told them to do in the Old Testament, but that was a different dispensation. It's not now. Now grace is supposed to be given to the hearer so that they can be saved. All men can be saved. This statement is wrong. I don't think they can be saved. According to the Bible, they can. So it does not stop our ability to communicate truth to them. The problem is the way we communicate truth. We don't communicate with them like they don't know. We communicate with them like they should know. I gave that example this morning in our Sunday school class. I won't go over it. But that is many times the way that I am with my wife about many things. You go, we shouldn't be. Thank you, I know that. I'm not bragging about it. It's not fun. Because most of the time I have to come back and go, I'm sorry. I don't get mad at her. I just go, I just said this way, and I know you didn't get it. And that even sounds bad. I know you didn't get it, so now you're going, oh, you talked down to her. Oh, everything I say. Yes, all the time. She's shorter than me. Of course I talk down to her. It's our nature. I love that it's revealing our real deep emotional nature. What is your responsibility when somebody wrongs you? You're going to thank you to wrong them back. That's exactly right. Don't sit here and go, well, that's not mine. I've heard Christians, I've read what they've said, we ought to burn them all down. Oh, my goodness. Did you not read where Jesus tells the disciples that were with him, you don't know who you're following. You have no idea what spirit you are of. We're not of the burn down the world spirit. God will burn down the world. Our responsibility is to reach the people who do not know God. David says, they do not know you. What's the next word? Selah. That's the first place I can get rest. Why? I know why they're doing what they do. They don't know God. I know why they're saying what they say. They don't know God. Came out this week that every person who believes that abortion should not be freely given and is a right of the United States, and they call themselves Christians, are heretics. You know who said that? A person that does not know God. Oh, I'm not questioning their salvation. I'm just telling you, they don't know God. Why? God's not changed his mind about innocent blood. And that's greatly spoken of in the Old Testament. Well, Brother Ron, now I have this feeling. That's our problem. David goes to God and he says this, I'm going to rest and lay this in your lap because they don't know your plan. Here's two other examples that I can give you from the New Testament that should ring bells in your mind. The first is Jesus being hung on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The second is Stephen. Lay not this to their account. Why? They don't know. Brother Ron, we got to stop them. No, God's got to stop them. We've got to be the tool that God can use, not the tool that thinks they're being used. I'll tell you, had American Christians voted according to the Bible, we would not be where we are. Period. But we became so embroiled with how we felt that the majority of Christians now vote however they feel still. They don't feel like this person. Look, I'm telling you, we haven't been offered a good Christian politician a long time. You know why? Because even Christian politicians get treated like dirt. And don't have to be, and so why subject yourself to it? We don't vote like people don't know God. And now, I'm going to be completely honest with you. There are a lot more that don't know God than know God, but let's bring it back home. We didn't tell them. Period. So what do? We go to God and we say, God, use me in whatever way you can, but you're going to have to do what you can do by your name and by your strength. I can't do it. I know they don't know. I've got to lay this in your hands. Verse number 4. This psalm now turns to the observation of who God is. When you're in a situation where someone has wronged you, you need to first go to God, and then second, recognize who God is. This is another thing that's absent in us. If we would admit and recognize who God is and show that we know who God is, It would help us to be able to help others. Here's what he says. Behold, God is mine helper. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul. He shall reward evil unto my enemies. Cut them off in thy truth. So what do they not know? His truth. How are they going to have to be cut off? In his truth. God is my helper. When is God my helper? All the time. He said, be content with such things you have because you belong to the one who said to you, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So what should we do? Recognize that God is our helper. He's there. He's the main helper there means the one I can't do without. It harkens back to this, to deliver me, save me, O God, because of your name and because of your strength by those two things, because they don't know who you are. Now, God, I'm begging you to help me remember that you are helping me, and the way that you help me is by your truth. Arguing with somebody about anything other than biblical truth is going to fail. Why? When you start arguing emotions and feelings, all you're going to do is pick a little, talk a little. Pick a little, talk a little. That's all that's going to go, back and forth. And you'll walk away and you'll say nothing was accomplished. I love it when people say, I told them, I gave them peace of my mind. I always want to know, and I'm not, well, I used to say that, so I've gotten away from it because I have very little mind to give away anymore. I can't be giving parts of it away. You can't do that anymore. When you get to be 60, man, you better hold up every bit of mind you got. I mean, speak it while you're a teenager. You don't have any there anyway, but in your 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s, stop, because you start giving it up. The people that have a real sharp mind when they're in their 90s are people who didn't give people their piece of their mind because they kept it. I'll guarantee you talk to these people, they won't give you a piece of their mind now. Why? It won't accomplish anything. What I need to give people is God's truth. God can't help me unless his truth is involved. If you can speak Bible, you can say, well, the Bible says, the Bible says, the Bible says. You don't have to say, well, I feel like, I feel like, I feel like. You can say, the Bible says, the Bible says, the Bible says. You'll note in the New Testament that even when Paul stood before the rulers, he used the Bible. Note that. It's exactly what he used. God said this in the Old Testament. This is what happened in the New Testament. God said this, and this is what Jesus said. God said this. He was trying to tie it all together. The truth, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Everybody's got an opinion. Everybody does. Everybody does. It doesn't mean one opinion is right, but when you start taking the truth, that's what sets men and women free. So he says, God, you're my helper. If I will stay in this idea that you are going to cut them off in your truth, you'll reward evil unto mine enemies. How? According to your truth. God's not going to judge them according to our feelings. He's going to judge them according to his truth. This is the determining factor. When you begin to talk to someone, and especially in family matters, we begin to argue with one another about the way that we feel about this family member, or this family member did this to this family member. Do you know where you're going to help your family? Is by going to the truth and saying, well, the Bible says this, and so this is where we should come down. And if we don't come down here, then we don't have fellowship. Why? Because this is what the Bible says. Now, this isn't my opinion of what the Bible says. This is what the Bible says. Here's what we do. I have this opinion about what the Bible says. Now I have to find people that agree with me in books, and so I can say, well, I read so-and-so, and he said this. But then you could read so-and-so, and he said this. And you can read so-and-so, and he said this, and he used a different version. That's why we're changing the version of the Bible, because everybody's got feelings about the truth. We're not talking about your truth, my truth. We're talking about the truth. That's the truth that's going to judge the enemy. Relax. Rest there. God is your helper. How? By truth. Don't be depressed. Don't be discouraged. Don't be disappointed. I mean, I'm looking around. I'm not happy with the way things are. I do know this. God is going to judge according to his truth. So you know what that tells me? I better be living according to it. Because if I'm not living, I'll be judged with them. It's amazing how we think we can over... So, we don't want to be talked about, but we talk about other people. We get angry when we find out other people talk about us, but when they find out we talk about them, we say things like this, well, I was just telling people the truth. No. The truth is, you and I are to be about our own business. That's what the Bible says. Not to be busybodies. To be about our own business. Our business is knowing the truth. When you know God, you know the truth. Finally, in verse number 6 and 7, I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name, O Lord, for it is good. Even though God, even though the Ziphites attacked him by going to Saul, and even though they delivered him up and rose up against him, and even though they needed to be judged, and he needed to be judged according to God's, let's just say this evil had come upon him, and he was turning it over to God, and although he recognized that they did not know God, and that they did not know the truth, and they were going to be judged by the truth, here's what he says, I will praise God, even when I'm here, in the middle of this. It's when it was written, read the title. I can praise God. I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name, O Lord. Why? Because in every situation, whether it's good or evil, you're good. God, you're good. I don't feel good today. I'm in my 80s, 70s, 60s, 50s, 40s. I've got this bad disease. It doesn't change that God is good. Well, America stinks, and here we are, we're in this hovel, and the economy's going down, and the gas is going up, and they're liars, and they're cheaters, and they don't know God. That doesn't change this fact. God is good. Well, I know that. Wait, praising God for it and being mad about it is two different things.
Don't try to get me to think like you.
I'm not. He says, I will praise you. We're human beings. I know me. I'm not accusing you of anything. That's not my first go-to. I'm praising God because he's good. But you know what? God's been good in my life. In every situation. The fact that I'm standing here, God's good. But if I go to the hospital tomorrow and I lay in a hospital bed, God's still good. And if the economy gets so bad that people vote again for the bad economy, I won't be surprised because they don't know him. I'd be surprised if American Christians voted that way. I wouldn't be surprised, I'd just be sad, because that means they don't know him. See, it doesn't change the fact that God is good. I know I talk about the world getting worse and worse and worse, but right now, no matter how bad it is, God is good, and no matter how bad it's going to get, God is good. You know what our job is? To tell people that. There's only one way to do it, to praise him when things are bad. Not falsely, but with a heart that says, God, no matter what evil comes, you're good. Your name is good. Your word is good. Your truth is good. Your plan is good. And although I'm in a place I don't want to be, and I didn't put myself here, God, you're good. It's hard to say that. I'm I'm not making light of it, and I'm not saying that it's going to be easy. There's raw feeling here. In the next psalm, it gets really real. It goes along with this theme. It's really harsh, and it's deep hurt, and it's pain. I'm not saying that it's going to be easy. It's right. Because no matter what, God is good. For he hath delivered me out of all trouble, and mine eye hath seen his desire upon mine enemies. If you consider this fact, David couldn't say this, but certainly those of us who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb can say this. God has destroyed all of my enemies. My greatest enemy was sin and Satan. I'm going to heaven. No matter what, God is good. He's taking me to heaven. And even though I don't live according to his truth, he still loves me and calls me his own. Why? Because he can't deny himself. God is good. And when I sin, he says, if you'll confess your sin, I'm faithful and just to forgive it and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. If you'll confess it, if you'll name it, if you'll turn away from it, if you'll agree with me about it, and you'll walk away from it, I'll forgive you and I'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's a good God. That's do you know, that's an enemy that I have every day. That's my enemy. The Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, so I don't have enemies out here. You don't either. If you're saved, your enemy is you. Your enemy is this flesh. And God has overcome that. He's good. I can praise him because he's always good. Because there's nothing, his promises are always good to me. He will never leave me or forsake me. Although it may be horrible, he will deliver me because of his name, by his strength. When I don't know what to do, God always does. And if it's not what I think he should do, then I'm not connecting with how good he is. I don't know about you, but I've had situations in my life where I prayed and it didn't exactly come out the way I wanted it to. And I thought, wow, what a bummer. I was hoping for this and this and this. And only this happened and it wasn't enough. Then later on in my life, I look back and I go, man, am I ever glad God didn't do this and this and this? Do you know why he doesn't? Because he's good. He's always working all things together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. Get your mind on him. Know that he is the only one who can save. Remember that he is always good, and remind yourself to praise him because he is good and his mercy endureth forever. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around.